mardalanau merasa dasada laos tilang langi doau terlungun-lungun mane te kiluki daina dasia mata meringot la kaki daina laso maruju.
That Batak pop song features in the debut poetry collection of Indonesian writer Norman Erickson Pasaribu. Norman's poetry explores queer themes, his Christian background, and his Bataknese culture. Norman has been touring Australia with this book of poetry, Sergius Seeks Bacchus. Welcome, Norman.
Hi.
Norman, what are the origins of the poetry collection?
Well, initially it's just a book that I want to write for my boyfriend. I first date my boyfriend in like 2014 when we are almost 25. We met in a writing school and then I want to make something for him. And then at the time we kind of like always, so we live in the other sides of Jakarta and then we have to meet in the middle and then we meet in this mall called FX Sudirman. It's kind of like not so famous mall in Jakarta. And then we meet in the basement in his car and then there we have some intimate time together. So at the time I kind of like because I like to read about Christian history and I was like, oh, we are kind of like early Christians who have to go underground to pray and we are here go underground to kiss. And I feel like because the Indonesia being queer often associated with being westernized, with being demonized, with being like the sign of apocalypse, I feel like I need to resist those associations. And by using Sergius and Bacchus, who are Catholic and Christian saints from the early times, it is a way to resist those associations.
So your poetry has many allusions to Christianity, also to your Bataknese culture. Can you give me some background on what the Batak culture is, where it's from?
Batak is the indigenous people in the North Sumatra, but then my family migrate. It's kind of like internal migration to Jakarta in the 70s. So they moved to Jakarta around 78, I guess. And then they moved to Bekasi in 1992. The Bataknese culture, how to say, like Christianity is the post-colonial context of my people. So the German missionary kind of like Christianized like many of us. And it became like the core component of our daily life. I feel like we sing a lot of like, I mean, it's like almost Christian songs from day to night in our house when I was younger. And then my mom joined, we spent a lot of time in the church kind of stuff. And then we have this, we call it Malua, when we are like 17, we have to study Bible for a year so we can get married. So it's the culture of the current Christian plus Batak culture today. And with the context says it like we kind of like migrate from North Sumatra to Jakarta. We also kind of like have this different kind of Batak culture than the original culture in the North Sumatra area.
Well, Norman, I'd love you to read one of your poems. Can you read the first poem in the collection, Erratum?
Yeah, Erratum. What was he thinking here, picking this body and this family, where being matchmate with your mother's niece was possible, where firstborn sons always meant everything, and here, falling in love with the boy who sat beside him at school, when all that lingered of first love was that first kiss they shared when cutting PE. And here, not long after his first book came out, as his family sat cross-legged together and ate, he told them it wouldn't end with any girl, much less the Toba or Karo kind. And here, as he stood by the side of the road, that night, all alone, cars passing him, his father's words hounding him, "Don't ever come back, Banchi." And he wept under a street light, frightened at the first drops of rain, misting his hair. And here, when he realized something odd about the text that was his life, and hoped sometime soon the publisher would print an erratum to restore the lost lines, wherein he would know he was everything and also nothing was wrong with him. And he would know what lingered of first love was that very first kiss bestowed back when his family sat cross-legged together and ate, grateful because he had picked this body and this family. Thank you.
What a wonderful reading by Norman Erickson Passeribu from Sergius Seek's Bacchus. So is this poem autobiographical?
So in this book, I play a lot with the idea of nonfiction poetry. What is memoir? What is, well, for example, I like to make intervention to reality because I am very influenced by speculative fiction and sci-fi. And so it's true that I fell in love with my friend who sat beside me at school, but the kiss never happened. What happened is when one time I had to, my father kicked me out and I had to be on the street at night, and then it's raining and I was like just in the street with trousers with around $2 on my pocket, and I feel so in love, and when every time I think about it, I just want to die. So I need to make intervention to those memories, because I will not let bad memories haunting me until the rest of my life. So I invent the kiss. It's kind of like poetic intervention to actual real life by making it poetry. So yeah, it's autobiographical, but not in the way memoir is.
Not everything is fact. Some of it's imagined. Now, we're also joined by Tiffany Sau, who translated this poetry collection into English. Tiffany, how did you come across Norman's work?
Well, in this age of social media, it's not a super, I don't know if it's super sexy or not very sexy at all. But I think I was volunteer editing for Asymptote Journal at the time, and they're a world literature quarterly. And I was looking for new Indonesian content to pitch to the section editors. And I came across one of Norman's poems, and then I thought, oh, this is quite cool. And then I read about a bit more about Norman. I'd heard a bit about him already for his short stories. But then I thought, oh, maybe it would be kind of cool if we could feature this. So then I just direct messaged him on Twitter.
And that's the way to do it.
He replied. And then it was very exciting. And I asked, because I confess that especially when I started this translating these poems, I was much more comfortable with translating prose than poetry. So then I asked Norman if he would mind if I would just translate the samples, and if he would help, and that would be really wonderful. And yeah, then we started working together, and we worked together quite well. Yeah.
And this isn't the first Indonesian work that you've translated, though, is it?
No. So before this, I translated all prose. So two novels. One is Paper Boats by D. Lestari. Another is The Bird Woman's Palette by Lakshmi Pamunchak. And then I've translated short stories before this as well, but just a handful.
And how did you find that transition from translating prose to poetry?
It's a big transition, just in terms of rhythm and rhyme. I mean, it sounds like, oh, obviously poetry has more, you know, rhythm and rhyme. But just in terms of how to handle it, tuning my ears to hear it and to listen to it and to try and replicate it, I think I learned a lot from working alongside Norman. And it's actually affected the way I write prose as well, because I write as well. So that's been really interesting, too, to see how that's had an effect. Now, like long-lasting effect, yeah.
Now, your background is Indonesian-Chinese. You lived in Indonesia for 6 years, I think, but you've also lived in Singapore, America, and now Australia. But you also studied Indonesian, didn't you?
Yes, when I was a postgraduate student in the States, for my English PhD, we had to get proficiency, either medium proficiency in two languages other than English or advanced proficiency in one. And I was a bit lazy. So then I thought, oh, I have some Indonesian already. So I'll just do Indonesian for advanced proficiency. And then from there, it was a bit like, I don't know, something waking up within me. And I got more interested in reading Indonesian literature. And, you know, my scholarly studies at the time began moving towards Indonesian literature.
So can you talk me through some of the issues in terms of translating this work? So in that poem that we heard Norman read, there's this term banshee. What does that mean, and why is it a word that we isn't in English?
I think in an earlier draft, we had translated it as faggot. Or I think in, because banshee, the word appears untranslated throughout this translation. And I think we made the decision to go with banshee.
So it's a derogatory term?
It's a derogatory term. But there's something quite visceral about the original. Like, I wanted to capture, for me, the and maybe Norman can chime in too, because this was a joint decision. Like, there's something about capturing the viscerality of it and also the immediateness of it, because this is what people are called. And this is something that queer people in Indonesia face, right? This is
their reality.
This is their reality. And so then to UK-ize it or to US-ize it or to Westernize it by translating it into a term that would be more readily recognizable to a non-Indonesian audience felt a bit violent in itself to me. So I think it was important. And then it became obvious in hindsight, like, of course, we should leave this untranslated. And banshee is usually, it's used to as a derogatory term to talk about not just gay people, but men who seem effeminate, you know, transsexuals. So it's kind of a blanket term, I guess, a blanket derogatory term for queerness.
And so, Norman, is this something that you have experienced?
The word banshee, well, it's thrown at me, like, from children, like teenagers, and an adult.
So all through your life, you've experienced this.
I live with that word. Like, it's basically, I think, probably one of the words that I am most heard throughout my life. And when Tiffany sent me the first draft, it was with, I think it's with faggot or fag. But then I feel like, we feel like, in the end, we should reclaim that word. We should use it, and we should use that word to expose the violence in our lives, daily life. So it's clear this is what happened to Indonesian, because by changing the word, by translating it, I feel like as a poet, it is kind of like lose its context.
It loses its Indonesianness and your direct experience of it.
Yeah, I feel like because English is used by many queer Indonesians to connect with the world. I mean, that's why many queer Indonesians speak the mix of Indonesian and English, because they can leave their oppression by speaking in English, by living in English. So I feel like by keeping the word banshee untranslated, it can be the gateway word for them to like see these poems, because
For them too.
I feel like the translation is for them too. It's not just for like, for example, Australians, but it's also for Indonesian queer.
Well, thank you both so much for coming into the studios.
Thank you.
Oh, no, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Norman Erickson Pasaribu is a poet from Indonesia. His debut collection is called Sergius Seeks Bacchus. It was translated into English by Tiffany Tsao and is published by Giramondo. I'm Sarah Lestrange. You're on The Book Show.